free the beer. Nope. Not at last. The beer ain't freed. There was a constitutional challenge. This is a rather, I won't say it's a complicated case, but it had implications, broad implications. And people in some circles said, if there's free trade, there's free trade. Never mind between Canada and the U.S., but between the provinces, saying go back to the constitution of this country in 1867. There was an understanding that it should be, goods and services should be able to trade back and forth across the border. But the Supreme Court ruled differently today on that, saying that the idea was not to restrict trade across the provincial boundary, but to enable public supervision of the production, movement, sale, and use of alcohol within New Brunswick, specific to the case involving the man who, was nabbed as part of a police sting crossing the border to buy a couple of cases of beer and a couple of bottles. It was Gerard Comeau, I think his name was. On the line with us this afternoon to give us some thoughts on this story that's just really only starting to ripple across the country. Just had the official release of the information about an hour and a half ago. On the line with us is the president of AIMS, the Atlantic Institute of Market Studies. It's been a while since we caught up with Marco Navarro-Gini. Marco, how are you, sir?
I am very well. Good afternoon. Thank you.
I was not surprised by this today. I had a sense. I had a feeling. I'm not a lawyer. I'll be the first to admit. But there were some of the arguments being made last fall when the Supreme Court was looking at this case. They were sort of signaling that the implications, if they were to allow this to go forward, would have been a lot more substantial. It was about more than just beer. What did you think? What did you feel when you heard this morning?
I wasn't all that surprised either, though I remained hopeful that the court would sort of open up to the notion that a great deal of what was holding this decision and the way things are essentially a set of jurisprudence that seemed to be archaic at both ends. One, the jurisprudence really goes largely against the original intention of the framers of our Constitution, our fathers of Confederation, if you will, who desired to have a free movement of goods across provincial lines. And that was the whole point of having one country, because before that, of course, there were all these different colonies. The second issue at which the Supreme Court finds itself at odds with is public sentiment. And so they are going against the grain of what essentially is the roots of the country and against the public sentiment today. Our polling, and we've done research on this, shows that an overwhelming number of Canadians, the majority, in fact, think that we should have unrestricted movement of legal substances across borders without any inherent barriers from any jurisdiction.
It was a unanimous decision, the Supreme Court of Canada, that they said at first the provincial judge in New Brunswick made a mistake, erred in law, striking down this prohibition era case from 1921. That's why it ended up in the Supreme Court. The province of New Brunswick decided not to appeal anyways. It went all the way to the highest court in the land. The ruling today, if a constitutional provision could be reinterpreted by a lower court whenever a litigant finds an expert with an alternate interpretation, it says, the common law system would be left in disarray. I think, again, it speaks to their concern, their worry that without, fundamentally shifting our entire judicial system, they couldn't allow this case to go to be won.
This smacks of a decision that was made a long ago and now is being backfilled. When you look at, for example, most Supreme Court decisions, a great deal of Supreme Court decisions in the last 25 years since the advent of this Charter of Rights, and you look at how the court has gone about subverting precedent on so many levels at social issues, for example. The court has not been timid at all in subverting the landscape of the social fabric of this country time and time and time again. What seems to be the case here is that economic issues and business issues either intimidate them for some reason or they don't have the same temerity to go and transform or disrupt or change things at that level. The truth is, a great deal of the great decisions that they have made in the last 25 years have started at the lower courts and have been accepted by the Supreme Court. So I do not for a second buy the idea that this would be disruptive and that in and of itself the idea of disruption makes it unpalatable.
All right. The beer is still not free. Obviously, people are talking about this across the country. See, the wine industry in British Columbia, unhappy, obviously. If you produce a product that you can't openly and freely trade between provincial jurisdictions, it prohibits their ability to grow their businesses. That makes sense. But that said, I saw someone posting, well, why can you go to the States and bring back beer? And it's, you know, you don't have to pay anything. Well, there's an agreement with the borders and the governments. And there's obviously, if you bring it back, there are duties you have to pay if you're not down for a prescribed period of time. I mean, it sounds as though, in some ways, there are two sets of rules, one for interprovincial trade and one for Canada and the U.S.
There are, and this is why this is so against common sense, and this is why I was hoping that the court would see that this is against the common sense of the vast majority of what Canadians see and believe and live, is that we have two separate sets of rules. We point fingers at, for example, all the obstructionism that is going on in the United States in relation to international trade, and we say that, you know, Trump is a troglodyte and all these things that you hear on social media and in among the public. And yet, the Supreme Court is actually upholding the same principles that makes the troglodytes be successful. And that doesn't really make sense.
I thought I'd be the first one to use troglodyte on my radio show. Congratulations, Marco. With that in mind, you know, this is essentially dead. This is it. It doesn't go any further than the highest court in the land. What can, you know, if this doesn't make sense, if this does perhaps, you know, keep in place prohibition in some ways between interprovincial trade, where do you go from here?
There's two things that are our great political wisdom allows in this country. This is not dead by any stretch. On the one hand, there is something called the notwithstanding clause, which makes governments be able to override court decisions. And that may not be the route, but it does allow it. It's a tool, and it does exist. The second is that in spite of the fact that the Supreme Court has played itself outside the mainstream of economic thinking in the country, over a decade now, there is something called the New West Partnership between B.C., Alberta, Saskatchewan, and Manitoba recently joined to try to remove many of these obstacles and sort of lubricate the movement of investment and services and goods. In spite of the shenanigans that are going on right now between the two NDP governments at the western end of the country, there is a framework that is trying to make things easier. We at AIMS have called on the four Atlantic Canadian governments to join the New West Partnership and to try to remove as much as possible in these sort of nuisance and difficult hurdles to movement of goods and services and labor and all the things that spark economic development. Mm. So in other words, the political route does remain open, but it requires political will, and the political will comes from those of us who vote and those of us who are interested in this sort of issue. In other words, from the citizenry. So it's up to us now to light up the imagination of our elected officials, and if this is what we want, push them towards this idea that we are one country and therefore we should be one market.
Again, I'll reaffirm my choice as you as my first guest today. Well said. Marco Navarro-Gini, president of AIMS, Atlantic Institute for Market Studies. I have little hope or faith that this notwithstanding clause will be used for this particular issue. I don't know if the government's quite willing to take this one on, given perhaps some of the rocky road it's traveled over the last couple of months. But Marco, just before we go, this new cannabis law has been enacted by the provincial government of Nova Scotia. You had said missed opportunity. Do you think there's going to be an issue with cross-border trade of cannabis, given the conversation we're having about beer and wine?
We are exactly at the same spot, in fact, because each provincial jurisdiction is drawing up its own rules. And each has allowed, for example, for the sale over the internet, but then you got the same issues, right? That it would be unlawful to ship across border lines between provinces. So, in other words, somebody from New Brunswick cannot buy from Nova Scotia over the internet and stuff like that. It's very much the same kind of obstacles that we're going to be placing in front of cannabis as we have over beer and alcohol. Mm.
Marco, thank you for this. Enjoy the rest of your day. Glad to have you on the show.
Thanks very much.
You take care, sir.
Bye-bye.
Marco Navarro-Gini, president of AIMS, Atlantic Institute for Market Studies, saying it's a missed opportunity. Perhaps by ruling in this way, the Supreme Court of Canada, in effect, does maintain the status quo, and it does mean that you can't travel to Quebec to buy cheap beer. Or at least you can't go and, you know, buy 14 cases and 3 bottles of alcohol and get caught up in a sting and expect not to get a fine. I think that's probably the lesson here for Mr. Comeau. In fact, he said, nah, that's it. He's done. He's not doing this anymore. Why is beer treated differently? But was it Alberta that had some prohibition? They had some kind of tariff in place. They didn't want other provinces craft beer. So there's these tightening of the circles and perhaps a lack of willing. Hey, we should have free trade with the Americans, but not with the Albertans or the Ontarians. This is all right. Let's take a break. What's up next? Oh, Canada.